MZTV.
Okay, here we are. Before I share the next testimony from the Kansas City Conference, you're going to love this one. And if you've already seen it on the live stream, well, I'm going to publish it here, because if you watched it on the live stream, the audio and the video quality is satisfactory, but not that great. But Greg Davis, filmed these separately, recorded them separately, and so the video and audio quality is superior. Nothing against Seth, it's just that when you're streaming something, you have to keep it at a certain definition in order to accommodate the streaming squeeze, you see. But no such limitations for Greg Davis, so I'm going to give you today the terrific testimony of a young lady named Amarice. More on that in a second. But first, tales from the Kansas City Conference. Yes, I have a tale from the Kansas City Conference. But before that, I'm loaded today. You're getting your money's worth on MZTV today. Rodney and I, we apologize. It's been 2 weeks since we published a Sunday video. Rodney's father was very ill 2 Sundays ago, and his father eventually died, for which we're all sorry. We hate death. I hate death. Rodney hates death. We're ready to begin the road to universal immortality, and that road begins with our snatching away. May the Lord hurry that day, because it starts everything. But Rodney is at peace. He's a man of God. Rodney knows the deal. And so he's back on the horse this week. Yesterday, you got a video. I want to make sure everybody sees it. It's really great. It's on the topic of human free will. And Rodney put a really nice MZTV on afterwards, a segment, a part of an MZTV I did 5 years ago. And the topic is so interesting. If you haven't seen it, watch it. But I think the topic is so important and so unknown that I am going to make a separate MZTV about it. Just this one part that I had forgotten all about. And when I watched this video that Rodney tacked on from 5 years ago, I was pleasantly astounded. I said, I got to talk more about this. So we're going to do that. And now, tales from the conference. There is a believer in Ohio named Larry Schuler. Goes by the name of Lawrence on the comments here, and he is a great guy, a supporter of the work, loves the saints, is a saint himself, of course, and as a side gig, he makes kettle corn, you know, like candy-coated popcorn, lightly salted, lightly sugared. You call it kettle corn, but it is unlike anything you've ever had. It is so crisp, and the balance between the salt and the sugar is scientifically computed. And I was actually at his house a couple years ago looking at his operation. He has a professional getup, right? And he sells this stuff at fairs. It's not fair to call it this stuff, because this is the food of the gods. Food of the gods. And it's eating it, you can't stop once you start. It's so light, it just melts in your mouth, and it really has been compared to crack cocaine. Well, Larry, being one of the most gracious, generous people I know, has fed the conference goers with this amazing popcorn. I think the first time he did that was at the Phoenix Conference. Sent a box of popcorn, giant box with like 25, 30, 40, 50 bags. People fight over them. It really starts minor wars, people fighting over this popcorn. And I think this was the third conference he sent a box to. The big problem was nobody ever got the popcorn. And it's not Larry's fault, but I just want to give him credit. This is just me. Larry doesn't care. Well, he cares. He wanted the Saints to get it, and I am totally bummed that they didn't. He told me, Martin, watch when you get to the conference. Watch for a box of popcorn. I mailed it. Here's the tracking code. Giant box, man. I said, yeah, I will look for it. And not only that, but then I texted the conference organizer, and I said, watch for this box of popcorn. Check. And she confirmed that I sent the text to her, and she, in turn, sent it to the other two organizers of the conference. Watch for this box of popcorn. So we have four fairly intelligent beings looking for this popcorn at the conference. The problem was, there were a couple problems. Three. Problem number one. I was just so focused on what I'd be speaking about at the conference, and I was a little behind in that department. I'd had a rough couple weeks before I left for Kansas City. I've forgotten all about to look for it, because in the back of my mind, I'm thinking the hotel staff will have the box at the desk, and they will say, oh, you're with the Kansas City conference? Here's this package that arrived for you. One would think, yes? So, but neither me nor the other three organizers inquired at the desk as to the popcorn, all of us being like the proverbial chickens running around without that very valuable upper appendage, and all of us again thinking that the hotel staff would bring the box to the front and mention it to someone. The box is not small. This never happened. I got home on Monday night, and someone asked me, someone who also loves Mr. Shuler's popcorn and who knows of it and who's addicted to it, how'd the popcorn go over? Ladies and gentlemen, I slapped my forehead so hard, you could still see my handprint up here. It's been 6 days. You see? I went, oh, mortified. I called the hotel. I said, what happened? Do you have a package from a Lawrence Shuler from Ohio? Just a minute, sir. Let me put you on hold for an indeterminate amount of time. I got put on hold for a severely indeterminate, great amount of time. And the clerk came back and said, that box is still on the dock. I said, what? Sir, that box is still on the dock. I said, madam, why wasn't that box transferred from the dock on the day of delivery, which was Thursday, to the front desk? And why weren't the conference organizers who were appearing at the desk many, many times made aware of this box addressed to the Kansas City Scripture Conference? She did not know. The woman at the desk did not know. She apologized. I'm mortified. But this story has a happy ending. The box of popcorn was eventually picked up by the conference organizer, who is going to take it to a homeless shelter where these poor people will be dealing with yet another addiction, and that will be the addiction to kettle corn. And I just want the Saints to know, this is not Larry, this is me. I want the Saints to know that this man wanted you to have this popcorn. And he just lives to bless the Saints. And it didn't happen. And we're all so very mortified about it. So the first problem was we were totally focused on the conference, forgot to inquire. Second problem was the clerks never brought the employees at the airport, Marriott, Kansas City, never brought the box to the front desk. And third problem is I wish I had texted Lawrence and said, please send me a text on Friday to remind me. That would have been the key to everything, but I didn't do that, and he didn't think to do it because four people already knew about it. So anyway, sorry folks, but that's it. That's the tale of the popcorn. I thought it was important to share that with you. God makes note of everything. God takes note of every little blessing and every intention of the heart. Even when it comes to popcorn, even when it comes to blessing the Saints with a light, salty treat that makes one not love the eon, no, but makes one at least able to tolerate the eon during the time when they are eating this amazing product. And now, I am going to bring you the testimony at the conference. This was Saturday night. A young woman named Amarice. She's also known as Solestial. Soulestial. Get it? not celestial, soul-estial. She's got soul. She's a musician. She is an artist. And she is so well-spoken. And this is what I like. She came up to me and said, Martin, I really want to share my story. So I didn't have to beg this person. I sometimes have to beg people, can you give your testimony? You have such an interesting story. People are afraid to speak publicly. Of course, it's the number one fear right behind death. Actually, it's ahead of death to some people. But Amaryse, well, you'll see for yourself. She spoke with such eloquence and such grace. And she blessed the man I spoke of earlier, Rodney Parrish. She is part of the Ecclesia in Texas, College Station, Texas. Rodney Parrish, very unsung hero here. Talk about a guy who just lays low but changes people's lives. Rodney Parrish lays low. He was at the conference. He brought, I think, one, two, three, there were about six people that came with Rodney. Maybe seven, maybe five, somewhere around there. But there's an Ecclesia of, I think, 10 people. I could be wrong about that. Could be 12, could be 9. I don't know. But there's an Ecclesia that meets at a coffee house in College Station, Texas. Rodney has taken some young people, they're all young people, under his wing and taught them the evangel. And God's hands is on Rodney Parrish because he is able to set forth the evangel in a way that people get it. He sends them to my material and he gives them books, and it's just a wonderful thing. And you're going to hear right now a beneficiary of Rodney's teaching. And also, this young lady, Amaryse, she met a young man who you know, Stephen Janowski, also known as Gerudo King, a writer, a teacher in the body of Christ who spoke at this conference. They met. They never have seen each other or heard of each other. They met at the Phoenix, Arizona conference probably 4 years ago now. I don't know, maybe 5 years ago, maybe 3 years ago. And they hit it off. And they're still together. And Mr. Janowski, formerly of Baltimore, Maryland, moved to Texas. And so he's part of this great, growing ecclesia there. And he and Amaryse are finding happiness together under the tutelage of Rodney Parrish, but under the grace of God, under the grace of God. And so without further ado, and there's been a lot of ado up until this point, but now I'm going to transfer you over to the young lady, Amaryse Celestial, who will tell us of her walk in the Lord, how she came to understand the great truths belonging to the body of Christ.
Oh.
Is this going to be good?
Can y'all see me? Yeah, I'll take this.
Is that good?
Yeah? Okay. Awesome. Hi, y'all. Thank you so much. My name is Amaryse. Some of you guys do know me by Celestial, which I'm learning. That is awesome. I love that some of you guys do actually call me Celestial. Thank you. That's my artist name, by the way. Some of you guys do know me like that. This is my third conference. My first one was Arizona, the Phoenix, Arizona conference, or actually I met Stephen. The second one was Stone Mountain, Georgia, and this one is my third. I do have something written up because I write a lot better than I speak. I can't freestyle, so here's this for you guys, okay? So my story, as well as yours and everyone in Christ, is proof of God and his vast love. I'm here today and every day wanting to proclaim and share Christ, who is the embodiment of God's love. In my story, not only is his love evident, but also his power and his wisdom. No matter how stupid I might think a situation is, or how stupid it makes me look, he has always known better in every instance, shaped the surroundings and molded the channels and mediums that he used and placed me exactly where I needed to be on his canvas, so that he could reveal himself in the midst of his art. My story starts down in South Texas, in a small town called McAllen. Maybe some of you know it. For those that don't know, it's about 40 minutes away from the U.S.-Mexico border. Pretty hot down there. I grew up in a home with a home of four. So my mom, my dad, and my little brother, and myself. My mother had a religious background in the Jehovah Witness faith, and my father in the Pentecostal faith. So together they settled on raising me and my brother up in the Baptist faith. So free will, hell, the Trinity, guilt, shame, all fried my brain before I could multiply, you know? I remember a moment in my childhood where I was maybe around 8 or 10 years old, and my parents were going through it on the verge of separation and divorce due to my father's affairs that had been going on for 5 years. And obviously by the grace and power and wisdom of God, they stayed together. My mother tells me she remembers being spoken to by God, telling her to forgive my father during her time of rage and animosity towards him. And whether or not, you know, this is true, whether or not it was God or his image or a messenger or another spiritual or celestial being of some sort, at least she's aware it wasn't of her, right? God knows they needed to stay together, or else how else would I be standing here today, right? And the same would be true if it was vice versa, because every detail is so crucial. It can't happen any other way than how God wills it. They pursued their marriage and pressed into the Baptist faith like never before. We went to church every Sunday, like how Robert says. My parents became official greeters and members of the church. They became very friendly with the pastors and the worship teams. At one point, I even became a member of the kids' worship team and also started going to church Wednesday evenings after school. After attending a summer camp and thinking I had encountered the Holy Spirit during worship, I decided to follow Jesus and got baptized in the fifth grade. As I entered my teen years and started having more thoughts of my own, I realized there was always a feeling of emptiness inside of me, right? We've all maybe felt that. And no matter how much I did, I never felt good enough, and I was never 100% sure of my salvation. I didn't know peace, and I definitely didn't know love. The love my parents attempted was flawed. Of course, the love the church showed was flawed, and the love I wanted to experience was waiting as his master plan was slowly unfolding, and the desire that he gave me to seek truth was starting to infiltrate my heart. High school is where the plot thickens, and my search for love continues, just as God planned beforehand. And I learn about love and heartbreak through a few trivial relationships, and eventually want to pursue it even further, more deeply and spiritually. I start to dabble in Buddhist concepts such as the chakras, meditation, law of attraction, manifestation, crystals, yoga, and other forms of alternative healing. And what I always find so fascinating is that I always tried my hardest to keep Christ at the center of my spiritual pursuits. I started calling the higher wisdom that I was seeking Christ consciousness. I attempted, and spoiler alert, failed at mixing the two religions' concepts and forming a whole new belief system that I felt was more sensible. This belief system appeased my teenage girl emotions, right, for a while, and gave me a pseudo peace that I hadn't quite felt from Christianity, obviously. Then I start dabbling in psychedelics. And lo and behold, there is 17-year-old me dropping LSD, acid, everyone. Good, thank God she's leaving. Don't want to give her too much curiosity. Every weekend, I still remember the first time I ever dropped LSD. I remember it was in an honest curiosity, an innocent passion for more. Truth. Something I knew deep down that I was missing. I remember cleansing my bedroom, the setting in which it took place, with incense and prayer. I even meditated for an hour before, thinking that would do something. Again, works. It still works. And I set my intentions for the trip. My intentions were to open my heart and mind to the truth of God and the purpose of life, or at the very least, my own. I wanted to see him. I wanted to feel him, experience him. I wanted to know him. You can read and research and watch videos and simulations of what this particular drug or medicine does to you. But nothing you hear, including that which you hear from myself, could make you understand the mental and emotional deconstruction that happens to you on this particular drug. Nothing I say or try to explain can make you understand the way in which God chose to reveal himself to me. God revealed that he is, in fact, love, real love, and Christ is, in fact, at the center. But there was more to be revealed about him that the world and the church and my family was not telling me due to their honest ignorance. In genuine pursuit of him and the truth, I would be rewarded for that which I asked for. The truth, right? But that's only according to the passion that he set up for me to have beforehand. The summer just before coming to College Station to study biology at Texas A&M University, I got into, I got into my first serious relationship with a producer, engineer, rap artist from San Antonio, Texas. My first semester of college, I would take frequent trips to go and see and stay with him, and likewise, he would come and stay with me in my apartment for weeks on end, and together we, you know, kind of pursued love, art, music, and spiritual enlightenment. One thing I am most thankful to him for is that he gave me the gifts and confidence and passion in my art to be able to officially and seriously pursue that which I really love, which is music. Although I believe we really loved each other, the relationship became very unhealthy, draining, and toxic for the both of us. Our separation was a very spiritual matter, and it became more so evident whenever the following year, I met a young gentleman and another local rap artist at a coffee shop that I think only knew me in relation to my ex due to the networking, local music scenes, and social media. I remember the conversation so vividly. The man asked, "Do I know you from somewhere?" And this is odd because I have never seen this man in my life. I shake my head and I say no. To which he says, "You make music, right?" And this was the first time someone I didn't know knew me because of my art and craft. Instantly, I was interested in what the man had to say. We had some conversation and numbers were exchanged to share more at a later time. And one late night, I was at this gentleman's home and we were talking and invested in spiritual conversation. And something in me begs him to go to the coffee shop known as Sweet Eugene's or Sweets, where he and I had previously met, to continue the conversation that we were having there. The man is very hesitant at first, as it is later than usual, but he succumbs to the request and before we head out says, "Fine, but you'll have to talk to Mr. Paris." And I thought nothing of it other than, okay, great. You know, that's, where am I? Okay, great. Whoever this Mr. Paris is, I'm happy to meet them and excited that they're there and that we'll have some more conversation. So we arrive at the coffee shop and the young man introduces me to the older gentleman known as Paris. And Paris asks me many questions that night that make me truly reevaluate and deconstruct my entire belief system. Paris exposed, rebuked, and entreated many of the false beliefs I had and taught me more about real love, God, over the span of the next few months than any other man had done up to that point in my life. So thank you. He sent me many videos that he had curated with Martin, and that's when I was introduced to Martin, actually. And his channel. I started binge watching all the videos on there. My favorites are Psycho Boy and that one where you throw eggs at the Trinity sign, or was it Free Will? I don't know. Either one, they can all have eggs. So I'm watching those. And Paris sends me off with lots of learning material and books to read, and I would often come in and fellowship with him at Sweet Eugene's and looked up to his guidance and his teaching and critiquing. I thank God for the young gentleman and Paris every single day. Two beautiful brothers in Christ that were God's perfect vessels, perfect channels, mediums, images that I needed to see and hear and experience God by. I wish I could say that night I just got it. I just downloaded the truth and all of a sudden my life was perfect. Obviously, that's not how it worked or works ever. Even the Christians know that sometimes. I struggled an intense amount unlearning what I thought I knew about the world, relationships, God, and even myself. 8 months passed by, and I eventually drop out of the university. After much internal debate, to dedicate myself full-time to being a student of the Word of God and also a full-time artist. My last big project from 2023 was an album named Celestial, and it's basically my testimony in musical form. It goes a little more into the depths of the personal, emotional experience and being on the edge of belief. My most recent stuff is me just generally heralding in the unique way that God has crafted me to will and to work. I continue to use my music as my medium to express God, Christ, and the truth. God continues to reveal himself to me through his word and shape my heart and mind to his liking, continuously conforming me and us to the image of his son. And it's humbling, to say the least. 8 more months pass by and I meet my now partner in endurance, lover, soulmate, teacher, best friend, boyfriend, husband, and compliment, Stephen Janowski. At the Arizona Phoenix Conference. And that's been humbling, to say the least. Every moment hasn't been perfect. But every moment since we've met, I have gotten the utmost privilege to share it with you and endure it together. Sharing the truth with others and heralding together are my favorite moments with you. God's writing our living love letter through our story. Even in our infirmities, he reveals to us that he is strong and that he and that his love in us, Christ, never fails and is never ceasing. Even in our weakest moments, like losing our jobs, losing our housing, losing our cars, death and illnesses in the family, my personal mental ailments, seasons of depression, seasons of insecurity, seasons of shame because of this world, because of the flesh and its desires. Even in all of that, God has never failed us and has always provided the healing. He has provided the peace, provided the grace, provided the love. In retrospect, we can only look at all of the ugly that we've faced and endure it with gratitude, as it has ultimately only been for our benefit. I cannot stress enough how every moment hasn't been perfect in itself, but perfect in God's plan to use everything and all for my good and benefit at the end of the day. I am justified, and you, my fellow brothers and sisters, you are justified, and Spirit holds us together, which is stronger than blood and stronger than the flesh, for sure. I see nothing in you all but Christ and him crucified. I love you all, and thank you for your time. With that, I will close with two of my favorite verses. 1 Corinthians 10:13, no trial has taken you except what is human. Now faithful is God, who will not be leaving you to be tried above what you are able, but together with the trial, will be making the sequel also to enable you to undergo it. Romans 8:38, 39, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor messengers, nor sovereignties, nor the present, nor what is impending, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which, by the way, is poured into our hearts. In Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank you, guys. Thank you.